Now, I have a great pleasure in introducing Jesse Jollymore to the congregation. Jesse is the founder and executive director of Hope Blooms. I think most of you are familiar with Hope Blooms. She'll tell you all about it in just a moment. But Jesse is a dietitian by profession and very interested naturally in proper nutrition, food, and diet, and providing good, healthy food. And she also loves working with children. And so she's married those two things to come up with Hope Blooms and created quite an amazing place. It's right down the street from my house, by the way. I walk by there every day. So now I just welcome Jesse, please, to come up and present.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I want to thank David for having me and for, can you hear me? And for Reverend Norm for reaching out to me. And I want to thank each one of you for having me here today. I just want to tell you that it's truly an honor to be here today with you. And my grandmother would be so proud of me. I'm from rural Cape Breton. From, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Myra or if you've heard of Myra before. Okay. So I'm from country. And I grew up actually right next door to the church. And my grandmother had said the rosary twice a day her entire life. She had just passed. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, yes, I can. You can just...
I'll leave it here? Oh, okay. I'm nervous. she said the rosary twice a day, and she had a prayer circle so long that it took her 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening to say prayers for everybody. Everybody called my grandmother when they were in trouble. So she would be so happy for me to be here today. Speaking with Hope Blooms, I have so shocked to be asked to speak about it. I usually just speak at health conferences. And to me, this is such a sacred space to be speaking. And it's so fitting for me because growing up with my grandmother, I always just asked for my life to be served in reverence. I didn't know how that was going to be, but for me, when we sang those words, to touch the earth with reverence, it really spoke to my heart. And I also want to say today that I can't believe I'm seeing my dear friend Tasha, who I haven't seen in such a long time. And we've known each other for a very long time. So, Tosh, I just want to say how happy I am to be with you today. So, the story of Hope Blooms. I didn't kind of go out searching to grow food and to work with children. I actually am a dietitian that has worked in the hospitals for many years. And I went back and to be a diabetes specialist. So I've worked in diabetes centers across the province for, you know, most of my career. And a call came up. They were looking for a dietitian as part of a research project in a health center in the inner city. And I thought, you know, I kind of like to see what that looks like to work in the community. And so I went there, and when I actually left, I quit my job at the QE2 to go work there. And people were saying, oh my goodness, sweetheart, you've really lost your mind. Like, what are you doing? And my coworkers were saying, like, you better lock your doors and make sure your windows are up and don't work late at night. And we're actually so worried about you, first of all, because you chose to leave the hospital, which shows us you're not thinking straight. And number two is that you're going into a community where we know there's a lot of crime. And I have a reputation for being kind of gullible. So they're like, oh boy, this is not good. So I left, and when I went into the community, I thought nobody kind of knows what a dietitian is, I'm sure, so I'll go around and introduce myself to everybody. So I went around to all of the organizations in the community, and of course I brought food with me because I think, you know, people connect better over food. So everywhere I went, I start meeting these amazing people. And one of my best friends became Hank. And Hank lived in the shelter, Turning Point, for years. And I went to do a community kitchen at, they call it Bride's Coffee House. And I was there every second week for 9 years. And I got to know Hank and the others. And Hank he was in the Second World War. And when he came out, he couldn't kind of adjust. And so he turned to alcohol and he ended up losing his family and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. He never met any of them. And then he started showing me his poetry, and he just was like this amazing man that just never found his way fully back, you know, into his family. And they didn't find their way fully back into his life. And so we got to be, you know, good friends, and I lent him a cookbook that I kind of was putting together over Christmas. And after Christmas, I couldn't wait to get his, you know, his advice on what he thought the book was like. And I came to work and they took me aside and said, "Jesse, Hank passed away over Christmas. He had a heart attack." And that was it. I was like gone. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I just want to go back to the hospital. This is just way too hard. And then I just kind of light bulb came on and said that beauty and brilliance do not know a postal code. And that it's my job to be a steward here to so that people in this community can see that they're already beautiful and brilliant. They don't need to be reaffirmed. And for the outside community to be able to look in with new eyes. And so I thought back to a quote that I loved since I was a teenager that was, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so when we see ourselves and each other as really like just really beautiful and worthy, that things change how they show up for us. And so my love in that community was the children and the seniors. So I thought, well, the thing I know is food. I don't really know about growing food, but I want to start something around growing food. So if you can believe it, I had to Google about like growing tomatoes and stuff like that. But I took a shovel, and there was this piece of land that kind of was like a, became a bit of a dumping ground by Uniac Square. And I asked the city if I could use it, and they said sure. So I just took a shovel, and I went around to the schools, and I asked, because David, you said, I went Joseph A. McKay and St. Patrick's Alexandra and Joseph Howe and asked if any of the children wanted to learn about growing food. And so I had 9 children come out with me, and we started digging, and we got some donations, and which were mostly tomatoes. And I love entrepreneurship, because with entrepreneurship, you don't have to be a certain age or have a certain education. You just have to have a great idea and convince other people that it's a great idea, and away you go. So we grew a lot of tomatoes, so I said, why don't we make salsa, and we're going to donate it all back to something, the money that we make. And so I didn't realize, has anybody here ever made salsa? Okay, I didn't realize how labor intensive salsa was. especially when you have 9 children and the oldest is 11. So we made like 225 bottles of salsa. And we sold it all and we gave the money to Adsum House, 100% of it. And what the magic for me was, I asked the children, like, so let's try and do good with the money we make. So what do you think about giving a little bit back? We'll pick the shelter, Adsum House, and what do you think we should give back? Like 10 cents. And they said, well, can we give it all back? And these are children that don't have anything, you know. So that really showed there's something to this. And then I know, I'll just tell you here, I don't usually tell anybody because they, you know, down home, I come from a family that are very practical. But I had a dream one night, and I woke up, and it said that this should be called Hope Blooms. That's actually how it happened. It wasn't any of this, like, thinking about it. It actually kind of evolved from a talk I went to, and it was in the community at the Friendship Center, and they had this guest speaker there, and like it was packed. And he was a doctor that was in downtown Eastside, Vancouver. And he said to everybody, "I do not believe in hope." And he said, "I've witnessed so many things in downtown Eastside. I think it's just giving people a false sense of well-being." And that really stuck with me for a long time. And I thought, like, I understand where he's coming from, but I think hope is like a substance. It's like a something that weaves together pieces that may be broken. You know, it kind of brings things together in a way that I think that it's taking something away from people to say that don't bother with it. And so that I thought about that for many months, and then I had the dream that what if hope can bloom before your eyes? So that people don't have to think about it as something they hope for years down the road. What if they can see it? And what better way than to see food growing, I thought, for children. And so we started with 9, and we stopped the salsa business after year 1. I thought, no more salsa. The kids named the business. They called Salsa Mania. I said, honey's like, that's, we'll keep the t-shirts, but there's no more salsa. and so my daughter is a chef, and I said, can you think of something we can make that we can sell and do good with? And she said, salad dressings. And so that's where our salad dressing idea came from, fresh herb dressings. And so I thought about this entrepreneurship thing. And I thought about the kids, because the kids all come from around Uniac Square. And when I was asking them about their dreams and that, not one of them had a dream. Nobody. And I just thought that, well, see, hope can play a part in this. But another thing can play a big part in it, and it's a sense of feeling that you matter. And so my job, I thought, was to make sure that these kids felt that somebody really cared about them. I know not just me, but I want them to know that I accepted them and loved them, and I felt like they were beautiful and brilliant just as they are, and that I saw all that potential in them. And so my work was coming from a place of what generosity is all about. And I thought, if you feel that you are enough right here and that you are enough in your mind, that when you give, that you're coming from a true place of generosity. And so that's been my work with Hope Blooms. And so we make our dressings. We 100% of everything we make, we all donate our time for those dressings so that no administration, nothing comes out. And 100% of what we make goes back into split between growing more food gardens and building scholarships. So we have a mentorship program that we have 3 days a week. We have tutoring. I match the kids up from the time they're 10 years old with mentors that are of things they're interested in, whether it's dance, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's being an architect, whether it's being an engineer. They get matched up with people from the time that they're young. So our first youth, they start when they're 5 and 6, and they graduate when they're 18. So we just had our first graduate this year, Mamadou, and he was the recipient of our first scholarship, and he's going to the University of Toronto, and he's coming back, and he said he's taking my job. So dream come true. So I'm keeping you holding true to that. So to me, like, that is impact. He just won the biggest scholarship in Canada for community leadership for all his work in Hope Blooms. So he won a $70,000 scholarship. So his university is paid for. And it's all because of all, and it's all about what you're doing to make your community a better place. So he told the story of Hope Blooms and what it's meant to him and what he is going to do to keep paying it forward in his lifetime. So for him, he's the first, none of his family has ever gone to post-secondary school. All the children in Hope Blooms, their parents have not finished high school, so they are starting a whole new course in history. They are making a huge generational change. And their parents, their cousins, their grandparents, for them, that gives all of them hope. So those children have given everybody in the community hope that these children are going to be our legacy. You know, I may not have had the chance to go to high school. I may not have a chance to university. But my grandson, my cousin, them, I know them. I know Mamadou, and I know Craig, and I know Tiffany. And they're going to be doing that. And so when we talk about hope, it's something that everybody can share in. And so when we're doing this now, we have 53 kids. And I got a call from the Joseph House School a few months ago, and they said, Jesse, there's 110 Syrian refugees living across the street from the garden. They're all living in Ocean Towers, and 80% of them are under the age of 16. They have big families, and they're all from northern Syria, so they grew up farming, every one of them. And they want to know what is going on across the street from them, because they're seeing all this food and this big greenhouse, and they want to know. So we got an interpreter to come with us from ISINS for a few times, and this is when you do something, you don't ever waver from it. Don't ever stop believing in goodness, because I know there's so much other stuff going on, but goodness is what we're made of. And so no matter how bad it gets, goodness is what we are. So this is what happened. So one by one, our community members gave up their plots to the Syrian families. So we have 27 community plots that we have put in year by year. We put one more and one more from our salad dressing sales. And so we have 27 on one side and 53 youth on the other. And one by one, they gave up their plots so they can grow their food. And so we bought them seeds, we got them transplants, and they're all growing food there for their families. And we've done this all summer with no interpreter, just using phones. Somebody in their group would have a phone, somebody in our group would have a phone, and you talk into it, and then there's a translator app you can get on your phone, and you say the word good, and they say the word, I don't remember. You say thank you, I say shukran. I know some words, you know. So it's been absolutely beautiful. And last week, they came to us, and they got an interpreter, and they said, we want to do something. And so last Thursday night, they came with plates and plates of food at our garden night to say thank you. And I would love to invite each one of you to come on Thursday nights. Every Thursday night, the Syrian families and our youth get together on garden night, after garden night at 7:30, and we just share food and music. And they dance in the field, and we have no interpreter. So you see how food is so connecting. Food is a universal language, and it's so important that everybody, you know, have access to healthy food. I so appreciate the readings and the music from today. Because when we talk about children, that we all are that inside, like, and that's where that, you know, goodness is, and to always, like, go back to that, and if you ever need, if you ever in Dota or whatever, that's where we look at our children, you know, and that's why it's so important to foster that, like, in our children, hope, and that they're good enough, that they matter, and to look into their eyes and say that. And to look into your own eyes and say that. And the one other last thing I'll just tell you is that the other thing I've come to learn about with children is that with them, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to make mistakes, and you just get up and you brush yourself off and you just keep on moving, but you don't move alone, you move together. You know, you give each other a pat on the back, you reach out a hand to each other. And to me, vulnerable is such strength. And I see it, that builds such resilience in us. And so that's what I leave you with, is that we're better together. And I so honor the mission of this church, and in social justice, and in inclusiveness, and in diversity, because we're in ecosystems, that's what we are all about. In ecosystems, everybody is equal. Every plant is equal. Every plant brings something to the table. And plants, you know, automatically have reverence when you really look at the food when you're it's growing. And so I honor the mission of this church. And I thank each and every one of you for listening to me. And many blessings to you all. Thank you so much.